Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Blessed and honored to be before you again today. I never, ever take it for granted the opportunity to share God's Word. Because God's Word, it seemed like to me in the last 5 months, it's become more precious to us. I mean, more precious. I mean, things we've read in the Scripture have become more real to us. You know, we're like, this one. I mean, truth is jumping off the page into our hearts because we need God's Word. And we have been not just surviving, but thriving on the Word of God, in the presence of God. So again, God bless you. Welcome. We're going to get into a word today. We're going to take a message today. And the first slide you see there is the title of the message: Your Treasure, Your Heart, and Your Words. Say, my treasure, my heart, my words. Now, we're going to go to Luke and take the entire context of Luke chapter 6. In fact, we're reading from Luke chapter 6. And that chapter is full of truth, as you'll see here in our teaching today. I want to encourage you that the words that we speak are powerful because they're coming from the heart. And you'll see why that's important to recognize that while words are powerful, the source of those words is even more important. Now, let's read, I'm going to read Luke 6, 43. I'm going to read down now into, get the context here. Verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good. And again, we read earlier, and an evil man out of evil treasure in his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Let me give you two quotes regarding words. First quote, a person named Yehuda Berg. Don't know who this is, but the quote is good. It says this: the words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble. Here's an even more impactful quote from Betty, I guess it's 80. If we understood the power of our thoughts, we would guard them more closely. If we understood the awesome power of our words, we would prefer silence to almost everything negative. In our thoughts and words, we create our own weaknesses and our own strengths. Our limitations and joys begin in our hearts. We can always replace negative with positive. Amen. Great quotes. Now, here's my quote. We know that words have power. The power of words begin with your heart. And your heart is a container of your treasure or character. All right. So then, again, teaching about your treasure, your heart, and your words. And Jesus taught this. It's a foundational teaching, as are many foundation teachings in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, Luke chapter 6, there are several powerful teachings and miracles that Christ wrought. In Luke 6, 19, Jesus heals a whole multitude. It says there in part, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. That's what happened on that day. In the same chapter, verse 20, he taught Beatitudes, one of which said that he lifted up his eyes toward the disciples and said, blessed are the poor, are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you shall be filled. All in the same chapter we're reading today. In Luke 6:32, he taught the disciples to love their enemies. He said, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that for you? And then we look at verse 37. He taught about forgiveness and not being judgmental. He said in verse 37, Luke chapter 6, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. All this is in the same chapter we're talking about today. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, he taught about discipleship, where he said, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And he also taught in the same chapter, Luke 6, 47, he taught about the building on a firm foundation or a solid rock. He said, verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now, that's the chapter we're looking at today. Full of truth, full of power. And what Jesus said following those statements is also full of power. Now, the foundations of words is the heart. The heart is shaped by what Jesus called treasure. Say treasure. And Jesus said this treasure can be good or it can be evil. Now, we think of treasure always as something good. But he said this treasure, from the treasure of a good heart, good things come. Or treasure from an evil heart, bad things come. So then treasure is not good or bad. What is treasure? We'll see this in a moment. But Jesus said in verse 43, referring to character, he said, a tree is known by its fruit. Amen. Not known by its height, its width. It's not known by how many branches and leaves it has. It's known by its fruit. What it produces from its essence is what that tree is about. So character is expressed by words. Yes, but words can be deceiving. Now, certainly a person speaks from the abundance of their heart. But people can fake that. People can fake that. People can be insincere and say words not coming from the heart. Problem is, when they get under pressure or crisis arises, then what's in them falls out. And none of us can contain and put and keep a facade up. If enough pressure is applied, what's in folk come out. And that accounts for those cussing Christians. Come on. I'll meddle a little bit. Them cussing Christians, stuff fall out of their mind because they, you know, their mind is not in the right place on a consistent basis. And so when the pressure comes, the wrong word comes out. Like one brother said, one brother preached, talk about, you don't always say hallelujah when you stub your toe. You don't always say praise the Lord when you miss with the hammer and hit your finger. Well, some of us do say praise the Lord. Some of us do not cuss. You know why? It isn't in us. That's a little simple, crude example, but it speaks to the point that a tree is known by its fruit. And that, yes, character is expressed by words, but words can be deceiving and words can be empty. So what Jesus said was true, but people can fake that and make it look like a different abundance is in them than what is in them. But the pressure and the tests of life will bring out the truth in all of us. In all, not them, us. Amen. Talking about us today. Amen. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us. Talk about me. Now, you know, there are people who say they're going to do something, but because, again, their heart and treasure is not full of integrity in that way, You know when they say they're going to do something, they're not going to do it. You just know that. So their words are empty, see? So the abundance of their heart is empty words and empty commitments. Again, that's a problem. We don't want to have that problem. So the foundation, again, for words is the heart. And the heart is shaped by what Jesus called treasure. Now, what is treasure? What is treasure? A treasure is the place where things are collected. It's a coffer or other receptacle in which valuables are kept. So again, treasure is not a whole bunch of gold or a whole bunch of money. Treasure is a whole lot of stuff. Say that. Say, treasure is a lot of stuff. And that stuff can be valuable or it might be worthless. It's an accumulation of a lot of things collected. So listen, what we think, live, do, and say comes from a place of accumulated things. What we all think, live, do, say comes from that place of treasure, of the things we've accumulated, of the sum of our experiences, of our thoughts and practices and habits, and that's our hearts. So hence the title, Your Treasure, Your Hearts, and Your Words. So again, now, one of the self-deceptions we live with, one of them is we deceive ourselves by having magical thoughts. Now, magical thought is an interesting phrase. It's just what it sounds like. It's not rational thought. It's not reasonable thought. It's a magical thought. And one magical thought we have is this, that somebody is going to suddenly start doing something differently than what they've always done. That's a magical thought. That myself or anybody will suddenly begin doing something different than what they've always done. Now, I'm being a little crude, I know, but, you know, so the person who is a liar won't suddenly stop lying. The person who is not considerate or lazy or not diligent does not suddenly become that way. So we deceive ourselves thinking that we or others are going to suddenly change. And all the prayer in the world won't make that happen. Prayer can set them up to get into a lifestyle and be discipled and grow and be corrected and rebuked. You know what I'm saying? It takes time to change. Right? Amen. And so that we want to be clear that we're not going to have magical thinking as regards what needs to change. We're going to trust God to work on those things that need to change. Let the change happen. And as we know from other teachings and Bible principles, there's seed, time, and harvest. You don't go straight to harvest. Amen. You don't go straight to a harvest. There is first the seed. And then there's time for that seed to germinate, grow, all this you know. And the same with change in our lives and other people's lives. So that we don't want to just speak words as if we're already someplace we're not. Now, it's good to be positive now. So, for example, we don't say stuff like, you know, I know how this works. I know how it works. No, say I'm learning how it works. Because I'm tired of folk telling me they can do something they can't do. Now, I told you the story back when we had media camp. I just stopped looking at resumes. Well, I glance at the resume. Dude said, I do video production. I do photography. I've been to school. Resume is beautiful. I said, great, great. Here's a camera. There's a computer. Make me a video right now. Amen, somebody? Amen. That's what I began doing. Just, here's a camera. Take some pictures. Edit the pictures for me. Because nowadays, the abundance of the heart as manifest in words and skills, folk might tell you anything. Just to get by, just to get over. Yeah. And the art of a good interview is being able to detect is this person speaking from a treasure? Or is it magical thinking and magical words? And am I being set up here for disappointment? We want to recognize that any type of self-deception based on just listening to words only, the Bible says, Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. Amen. I'm not going to judge you, but I'm going to inspect the fruit. We don't judge people, but you may be a fruit inspector.
Amen. Yeah.
That's appropriate, according to the scripture. It takes time. And you don't see fruit from somebody's words. In fact, the more somebody talk about themselves, the less impressed I am. Would you stop talking and show me something now? My story, I got 10 stories. Here's number 9. When I was a young preacher, I was full of zeal, and it was good, and go out and preach the gospel, win the world, and I told a preacher, I preach to God, I pass out tracts, I'm preaching to God. He said, well, let's go now. Let's go, man. I said, now? He said, yeah, now. You got time? So I was talking about, now I did do it, but I was saying and acting like I did it every day all the time. I gave the impression I'm this evangelist, I'm in the streets every day, all day. Well, he said, well, let's go, man. Let's do it now. I said, okay, thank you, Lord. Like, you know, Maya Angelou said something about other people that's true for ourselves. She said, when someone show you who they are, believe them. Well, turn around. When you see yourself for who you are, believe that too.
Amen.
Because we say too much sometimes, and we're just not at the level of which we're speaking. Now, yes, we have faith, expectation, and hope. That's good. Just don't use words that betray reality, but speak words of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So then we live, think, do, and say what comes from the place of abundance on the inside of us. That is our treasure. And we do not want to let anything impede the progress God wants to make in us, because God will engage you, he'll help you, he'll teach you, he'll train you, he'll put treasure in your heart. So the words you speak don't have to be contrived or made up. According to the spirit of faith, I believed and therefore I spoke. From my heart, from the faith that God's put in me. Amen. Now, to become good at something, we know this, to become good at something, we've all had experiences of training and learning and all this, and we know that the skills you have now, the skills you have right now in your work, in your job, at home, those skills are the accumulation of knowledge and action. You're good at the thing you do because you've done it so many times. So many times. And so there's no replacing practice, experience, training. There are no shortcuts to excellence. What did I say? No shortcuts to excellence. I saw this Facebook ad about this software that does art. And you basically you throw some text in there, throw a graphic in there, and this quote unquote art comes out. If you didn't do it, it isn't art. Amen. Now, software can do pretty nice things. But then it looks like what you did is the same as what they did, using the same software. Now, software helps, but don't call yourself an artist because you threw some text or some graphics at a software package and hit a button and it threw it all together and made something from it. Like photography, same thing. I'm a photographer. Well, hand me your camera. All right, I'm putting everything on manual. No automatic exposure. No autofocus, no auto nothing. Here's your camera back. Take pictures. A photographer doesn't need automatic anything. You make the adjustments, you take the picture. So my point is, we want to have treasure. Treasure values the experience of learning and growing and failing. You must not be afraid of failure. Because you're not, listen, you aren't an ultimate failure. You just fail along the way. Amen. You learn what not to do. Right? Failing for us is just learning what doesn't work. Amen. And so we find ways, and God gives us ways to grow and develop and to build a treasure on the inside. Again, the tree is known by its fruit. And whatever words we speak, whatever actions we perform, they come from the heart. But the heart is the accumulation of the treasure that you have within. In our world, let me go back here. In our world, we focus on words, obviously. News media, friends, printed words, spoken words, words that are sung. And the best words always come from the treasure of a person's heart. You can almost detect in someone's words if they know what they're talking about or if they're just repeating what they heard. And of course, sometimes you have to test them. Hey, well, you made this. Well, tell me about that. Tell me more about this. Explain that to me. And they can't go beyond what they just said, right? Because they were just parroting what they've heard. So Jesus said plainly, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Now listen, a good tree may bear undeveloped fruit, but not be fully ripe, but it won't be bad fruit. A good person will not bear bad fruit. And a good tree, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Then he said, verse 45, for a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Now listen, even good people, and y'all are good folk, good people can't bring forth good if it doesn't come from treasure within. If you haven't let God and experience and life teach you and bless you and give you enough to be able to share with somebody. And the fact that we all have enough of that in us to share what is good. So then if you focus on building the treasure within, then you'll be able to produce what is good. You know, school makes us anxious sometimes. And I've been in school and doing a doctorate ministry, and which I finished, by the way. We'll talk about that later. A different story. I did finish it, by the way, last week. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, what you learn is, it's intimidating to approach anything that involves learning and being in the presence of others and being given something to learn and to listen to and to understand what it means. And you hope that I can do this and I can get through this thing. But what you learn is this. You pass every test and ace every exam and everything if you have let the treasure of the instruction and the information and the research fill your heart. In other words, don't have anxiety about how will I do. Just focus on filling your heart up with the treasure of understanding. And guess what? You'll be ready for the test. The way God has designed you is you may still have some anxiety, but on the inside of you is the ability. And when the time comes, you just do it. You know, we have two grandchildren, and from time to time we get a chance to have them with us. And of course, parents are always concerned about how will my child act around others, including grandparents. But the thing is, I tell my kids, my son, I say, look, man, all that training you put in them, see, kids don't show parents their training. They just don't. But those kids go to other people and grandparents. All that good training comes out. It comes out around other people. It's funny, isn't it? So your own kids, I mean, man, my children are great kids, great people today. And they all just excellent people, all professional people, neat people. But they weren't always neat. Not all of them. But they were taught order and being neat and picking everything up. They were taught that stuff. We didn't see it. Not all of them, but go to their house. It's like, oh my goodness, Why couldn't you live with us like this? Yeah. Hey, man, the point is, treasure, the treasure you put in your children, it manifests. Maybe you won't get a chance to see it. Maybe they won't give you the satisfaction of seeing it. But the fact is, you know what I'm saying? If you put it in them, it's in them. And you do get, oh, look at that. Where'd that come from? Oh, we trained you that way, you know. Praise God, everybody. Point is, Jesus said, a good man, a good person, out of the good treasure of his or her heart brings forth what? Good. That's why it's so important to get a hold of our children, young people, and put treasure in them, knowledge, wisdom in them, through various programs, whether it's our media camp, Freetown Village camp programs, what school, whatever we can do to get this treasure in children so they'll grow up and do good. And we know, obviously, that for a lack of that, a lot of the bad we see in kids today is from a lack of treasure, a lack of good treasure, a lack of focus on the things that help them grow and develop. All right, finish up here. Now, how do you build a good treasure in your heart? Let me give you just five simple points here on how we build a good treasure in our hearts, talking to believers. This is a believer's perspective. First of all, pay attention to what and who you are listening to. Now, these are pretty obvious statements, by the way, but the first one is pay attention to what and who you're listening to. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I think King James says the forces of life. Don't underestimate the power of what we pay attention to. What you pay attention to is obviously what you're receiving, what you're learning, what is changing you, what is developing in you, what you accumulate. And we have in our homes, we got closets and drawers, you know, where we accumulate stuff. You know how that looks. And we got some organized spaces, some less organized spaces, some chaotic spaces. And sometimes it's all on purpose. You know, we have a place we put things we really care about, and those go in a certain place in a certain way. Other things, like, well, I'm not sure what to do with this, so throw it back over here in the quote-unquote junk drawer. Almost everybody, except for Bertha, has a junk drawer, okay? I bet she ain't got no junk drawer nowhere. But most of us got a junk drawer. Maybe Stacy, another one. But rest of us got a junk drawer, okay? And the idea, the concept is, I'll get to this later and sort this out sometime before Jesus comes. But listen, pay attention, though, to what you listen to or who you listen to, because keep your heart. Your heart is the container of the treasure. It's where you accumulate everything. And that's the place to protect. I mean, stuff may go in you. You may hear something for a minute. But see, when you listen to foolishness, that's one thing. If you keep listening to it, it gets into your heart. So develop the practice of just cutting off foolishness, you know. Get yourself a pair of really good noise-canceling earbuds. And if you can't change the environment, put them earbuds in and put some music on and just tune that stuff out. Just an idea. Or if you can't control it, you're on the phone with somebody and they go sideways on you, you just say, I gotta go. I've got to go. You ain't gotta say where. Because if you understand the importance of the treasure, he said, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Not just make it a minor issue, or if I get around to it, no, make it a priority, because it's from that treasure that you'll need to understand life and deal with challenges and pass that test and help people and deal with difficult people from all those places. So if you're full of reacting to bad stuff and crazy situations, then that's the treasure you accumulate. And when a bad thing comes upon you, you'll react in some way that's not helpful. Amen. Number two, the second way to build good treasure in your heart is for repentance and forgiveness. Recognize that repentance and forgiveness clears the heart. Unforgiveness is one of those major problems that we all have struggled with. I'm mad at somebody, offended at somebody. You know, you see somebody, look at them sideways like you did this to me. You know, you hurt me, you made me mad, whatever it might be, real or imagined. Well, if it's real, deal with it. If it's imagined, cast down imaginations. But don't let it linger in you, because unforgiveness will just spoil the treasure. It's almost like you let critters into the treasure, termites in, and you know what I'm saying? It's almost like you got this treasure working, then unforgiveness comes up, and now you're opening the door for stuff to come in and destroy your treasure and degrade your treasure. No, I worked too hard, prayed too much, and trusted God too long to build this treasure, to have somebody come along, and I'd be mad and upset, and lose peace, right? And have my treasure consumed. No, I'm going to forgive. Because forgiveness does more for you than for the person you're forgiving. Number three, third way to build good treasure in your heart is when you show yourself who you are, believe it. Or when you see yourself who you are, wording is not good there. Like I said earlier with Angelo, when something happens that reveals yourself in some way that you don't like, it's unflattering, you surprise yourself with the bad reaction you had, a thing you did, then believe it. Devil, get behind me. No, that was you. Mm-mm. Don't go there. Don't go there. That was not the devil. That was me. So believe it. And awareness is the beginning of change. You know, God has a way of making that happen. God has a way of doing that to us, man. God has a way. He loves us. But God won't embarrass you to somebody else before he embarrasses you to yourself. Yes. Say thank God. Before you embarrass yourself to somebody else, you embarrass yourself to yourself. So you just see it. And, okay, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the next step sometime is to be embarrassed in front of people for the same behavior. Number four, fourth way to build good treasure. Read the Bible and pray every day. You know, some things should go without saying, but we're going to say it. Read the Bible and pray every day. Say, read the Bible and pray every day. Yeah. I didn't say pray for an hour or read the Bible, read 10 chapters, but get in there, because, you know, that's your lifeline. Your lifeline is God's word and God's presence. And finally, the fifth way to build good treasure in your heart is keep up with messages from the Word of God. Now, listen, if your pastor or any speaker or elder in our church is bringing a word, you should hear it one way or another. If not in real time, then go get the podcast or ask for a CD or MP3, you don't miss the messages, because God said, I'll give you shepherds according to my heart. So if God has given you people, he assigned people to you to help you, to teach and to preach, then you should be listening to those persons. It's like, you know how it is, if you're in school, I had a habit in school, I listened to everything. I read every book, did every assignment, always. I mean, it's messed up. Always in terms of when I got my mind right now. As in high school, it was like B.C., before Christ, you know. When I got saved, my habit changed. So my point is, I don't miss what God has assigned to me. That's why I limit what I do listen to. People, a friend handed me a book 2 weeks ago, about 400 pages. You should read this. I'm not reading that. I'm telling you right now. Not that I cannot read it. You know what? No, no. Nobody gives me work to do. You know what I'm saying? Unless I work for you, you know. But the point is, I saw the title. I wrote it down. I may get to it later. But I got too much to do now to keep up with. I can't keep putting on top more things I'm supposed to do or give for the expectation that I'm going to do it. So it's best to say, I'm sorry, I can't read that. I can't do that now. And don't lie and say, I'll get around to it later. Just say, I can't do it now, you know. Some of us have these voicemail messages on your phone. Y'all should change it, by the way. It says, I'm not here. Leave a message, and I'll call you back. Change the message to say, leave a message. Don't say, I'll call you back. Because folk make themselves to be liars. Right? I'll call you right back. No, no. Change it after church. Go right home. Go to your phone and say, thank you for calling. At the tone, leave a brief message. And leave it right there. Because some folk do not call back. Amen. Now, listen, these are all small things. But listen, small things add up to the big picture. In fact, next week's message, I'm going to touch this right now. I'm done. We're going to talk about next week, Lord willing, how small things like words control the outcome of big things. Look at James, last scripture, preview of next week. James 3, verse 1. Brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. Listen, we all stumble in many things. We all stumble in many things. We do a lot of things, all of us do, and in some of those things we stumble. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature person, able also to bridle the whole body. And it goes on about the tongue is the small member, right, but boasts great things. So we're going to discuss that next week and how words, though they're small, control the outcome of big things. Hence, our words should come from the heart. We want to say things from the heart so that our words don't put us in a position where we can't function, we can't follow through, we cannot be honest. Amen, somebody? Or the old saying is, bite off more than we can chew. Amen. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts on today, reminding us, Lord, of these principles that, Lord, we are good trees, Lord God. We have good fruit. We are full of your treasure, Lord. We appreciate what Christ has done for us, what you've put on the inside of us, what we have gained in our lives, in living for you and serving others. And this treasure we have, Lord, help us to let that treasure define our character and guide our words so that we're not engaging in words that are out of character with what you put inside of us, or that, Lord, we just create for ourselves false expectations, unnecessary difficulty, Lord, by thinking or saying things that are not in our character or in our ability at this point in time to do. Father, thank you that we can be humble and let you, through our prayer time and time in the Word, build that treasure through our training experiences. Lord, all these actions, Lord, build that treasure in us. Lord, we add some here, a little there, and it accumulates and becomes a good treasure from which we can do great things and good things, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to share your word on today, and help us as we go forward as a church, as a people, Lord, as families, and Lord, as we navigate through these difficult and challenging times victoriously, Lord God, even holding forth the word of life and holding forth your light as well and shining, Lord God, to this generation and showing even in the midst of difficulty and pandemics, Lord, we can grow. We can become better people, better believers, better servants, Lord, better families and marriages. And Lord, thank you, Lord God. You're helping us. You always help us, Lord. And even if trouble comes, Lord, difficulty, it's an opportunity for the treasure to manifest. What's in us comes out of us under pressure. And what comes out of us is the good fruit and the good deeds and the good words. And we thank you for it and praise you for your victory that you've wrought in us and through us. In Jesus' name, can you say amen?